we're going to continue our series called Q&A. This is something that we do annually or semi-annually, and we allow you to ask questions. You can, if you still have a question, you can text it to me at 307-2604. You can private message me through Facebook. You can write it down. Don't just ask me, because I won't remember, okay? I'm just telling you, I won't remember. So I've gotten several questions, and I appreciate that. And we're going to deal with two today as we have time. We'll see how far we can get. And these are really not the kind of questions I like to answer, although I think that these are questions that are necessary to answer because they help us define and understand and know what our faith is about. And the first question has to do with, is the God of the Quran and the God of the Old Testament and New Testament the same God? Now, that's a good question. I know that a lot of people think that that is the same. In fact, and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes. One of the worldviews that a lot of people have today in America is postmodernism, which postmodernism has to do with the fact that it doesn't really matter. It's all inclusive, and it don't matter who you call God. If Buddha's your God, or Allah's your God, or Jesus is your God, or Jehovah's your God, or whatever you call God, your higher power. It could be a doorknob. It could be a light bulb. I mean, really. And it doesn't really matter, because the fact is that you're worshiping God. And that's kind of the postmodern worldview and the postmodern thought. It is 180 degrees away from what the Bible teaches. And if we want to have a Christian worldview, we have to go back to the Word of God. And we have to allow the Word of God to shape our worldview. Now, part of postmodernism in America today is that we have what we call designer Christianity, where you kind of pick and choose what you want to believe. You know, and if you don't, you know, if you want to make an excuse for your particular sin, you make an excuse for that. But you don't allow the Bible to say what it says about that. You just, well, we're not supposed to judge. Have you heard that? We're not supposed to judge. So, but anyway, to answer this question is, the answer is no, by the way. The answer is no. They're not the same. For the God of the Quran and the God of the Bible to be the same, there would have to be a consistency between the teachings of those gods. How many of you know that there is truth? There is ultimate truth. Truth is not relative. There is one truth. Okay? Not everybody can be right. And when we get into worldviews in a minute, we'll talk about that. But not everybody's going to be right. If I say 2 and 2 is 4 and you say 2 and 2 is 6, how many of you know one of us is wrong? There is a truth. There is solid truth. And it could be the Bible, or it could be the Quran. Really? Did you know there's a possibility that Christianity could be wrong, that the Quran could be right? But it's impossible for both of them to be right because they differ. They differ. And when something differs and they contradict one another, they both cannot be right. And this is what we're seeing in what the Quran teaches and what the Old and New Testament teach. Now, is there a consistency between the Old Testament and the New Testament God? Yes. One of the things that we see, you know, you say because there's a difference in Christianity and Judaism. The big difference in Christianity and Judaism is who the Messiah is. And that's the big deal. Judaism says that they're still waiting for the Messiah. Christianity says that the Jewish Messiah has come and it's Jesus Christ. So there's a difference in opinion. But there are many Old Testament prophecies that have been fulfilled in the New Testament and have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. There are Old Testament prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled, and we will see them fulfilled in the New Testament age. So there is, even though there's a differences of opinions about interpretation between the Jews and Christians, we come from the same stream. Amen? We come from the same stream. But this Allah is a different stream. And let me give you a few reasons why. And I'm going to just deal with some of the main ones. I think I'm going to give you four. Number one. Muslims do not speak of God as their heavenly Father. In the Islamic faith, Allah is not only a different name for God. They do not call him Father. Jesus taught us in the New Testament to address him, our Father, which art in heaven. That is not allowed in Islam. He is not their Father. So that's a difference. You say, well, is that a big deal? Well, it's a difference. It's a difference. Here's one that is really different. Muslims claims that Allah has no son. Now we're getting into something that is huge in its ramifications. If Allah has no son, and Allah and Jehovah are the same, then Jesus cannot be the Son of God. Our Bible teaches that Jesus is the Son of God. Islam teaches that Allah has no son. So that is a complete contradiction. Islam teaches that the doctrine of the Trinity is blasphemous. They teach that the Trinity, and how do we explain the Trinity? We're going to try that in the weeks to come. But they teach that the doctrine of the Trinity is blasphemous. There's only one God. He's Allah. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Total different teaching in the Quran and the New Testament. So it's a total contradiction. And here's one that's probably the one that is the defining thing, that Islam teaches that Jesus did not die on the cross. Now, I want to quote a passage, Surah 4:57. And for their saying, indeed, we have killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but another was made to resemble him to them. And indeed, those who differ over it are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge of it except the following assumption, and they did not kill him for certain. So Islam teaches that Jesus did not die on the cross. Now, what does that do to the faith of Christianity? If Jesus did not die on the cross, what does our whole faith hang on? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Islam says it didn't happen. Christianity says it did happen. How many of you know that both of those cannot be true? If Jesus was not crucified, dead, and buried, then Islam may be right. If Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, then Islam is different. So it cannot be the same God. It cannot be the same God. Okay. Next question. Explain worldviews. I want to talk to you about worldviews. Now, what is a worldview? It's just Let's just turn it around. It's the way that we view the world that we live in. It's how you see the world that you live in. It's everything that has shaped your understanding, your perception of the world that you live in. It's how you navigate the world that you live in. How you treat your fellow man. How you view certain aspects of life. Your whole actions, your whole belief system is your worldview, and it has all been shaped by something. Something shapes your worldview. It could be that maybe dysfunction has shaped your worldview. It could be that your hurts, your habits, your hang-ups has shaped your worldview. It could be so many things. We are so influenced by our upbringing that shapes the way that we think and the way that we see the world that we live in. But you know, Grandma may have shaped your worldview. But here's the thing. Could Grandma be wrong? Huh? Could Grandma be wrong about something? She may say, well, Grandma always taught us. But Grandma might not be right. There's that possibility. So there are a number of worldviews, and let me just give you seven things six questions that we can ask ourselves in determining our particular worldview. And here's the one: what is prime reality? What is reality? Is reality God? Is it God's? Or is it the material universe? Everything was brought about by the material universe. There is no God, or there's one God, or there's many gods. Here's the second question. What is the nature of external reality? Was it created? Was it eternal? Or did it create itself? Now, all three of these are beliefs that are held by different groups of people with different worldviews. Christianity teaches that the world was created by God, okay? Some people believe that the world has always existed, the universe has always existed. Well, science tells us that the universe is burning up, that it's expending its energy, and at some point it will cease to exist. So that makes it impossible for it to have been eternal, because it would have already burned up if it had been eternal. And then there it says that the universe created itself. See, here's the reality. Either something created something out of nothing, or nothing created something out of nothing. Which is easier to believe? That nothing created something, or that something created something out of nothing? The universe came from nothing. Okay? The third question: what is a human being? Are we a complex machine? A sleeping God? Are we in the process of evolving into God? Are we made in the image of God? Are we just a naked ape? Hey, different people think different things. This has to do with their worldview. Number four, what happens to a person at death? Is it the end? Is it the transformation to a higher or lower state, as in reincarnation? Or is it heaven? Number five, why is it possible to know anything at all? Two reasons. Number one, we are made in the image of an all-knowing God, or consciousness, intelligence have developed by survival instincts through evolution. How do we know, number six, how do we know what's right or wrong? Number one, we are made in the image of God. Number two, it's determined by human choice. Or number three, it evolved through culture. Are there absolute truths? Is truth relative? Do we decide what's true and what's false? Okay, I want to give you, and I know this is a little bit different take, but I want to give you some things about different kinds of worldviews, and we'll talk about them a little bit. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that we want to talk about. The first one is naturalism. Now, under naturalism, we have atheism, agnosticism, or existentialism. And basically, in naturalism, it says that the material universe is all that exists. There's nothing outside the material universe. Man is the chance product of a biological process of evolution. Okay? Truth is usually understood as scientific proof. Only that which can be observed with the five senses is accepted as real or true. In values, there are no objective values or morals that exist. Morals are individual preferences or socially useful behaviors. That's naturalism. That's kind of how they think. Then we have pantheism. What's pantheism? Pantheism is many gods, not one god, many gods. We have Hinduism, Taoism, Buddhism, New Age consciousness. And they teach that the only the spiritual dimension exists. All else is an illusion. Remember, what was the movie Neo was in? The Matrix. Remember the Matrix? That's kind of that whole deal. That there's really nothing exists. Only the spiritual, and us being here today and being able to touch things. That's all an illusion. That's all an illusion. Okay, isn't that weird? Man is one with ultimate reality. Thus, man is spiritual, eternal, and impersonal. Man's belief that he is an individual is an illusion. You're all part of a spiritual existence. Truth is the experience of unity with the oneness of the universe. Isn't that strange? Okay. Because ultimate reality is impersonal, many pantheistic thinkers believe that there is no real distinction between good and evil. Instead, unenlightened behavior is that which fails to understand essential unity. Sounds a little out there, doesn't it? Then there's theism. There's basically three different religions that practice theism. They're Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And we kind of know what they believe, that there is an infinite personal God that exists. And he created a finite material world. Humankind is unique creation of God. People were created in the image and the likeness of God. Truth about God is known through revelation. Now, Islam teaches that it's the Quran. Christianity and Judaism teaches that it's the Old Testament and the New Testament. Moral values are the objective expression of an absolute moral being. In other words, God defines what is good and what is evil. Then we have spiritualism and polytheism. And there's a lot of the religions of the world that are polytheists, and they're many gods. The world is populated by spirit beings who govern what goes on. God and demons are the real reason behind natural events. Material things are real, but they have spirits associated with them. Man is the creation of the gods. Truth about the natural world is discovered through the shaman figure who has visions telling him what the gods and the demons are doing and how they feel. Moral values take the form of taboos, which are things that irritate or anger various spirits. So that's a little out there. But now I want to talk a little bit about this one. Postmodernism. This is the one that you run into every day. This has to do what I call it the spirit of the age that's out there that has shaped a lot of our political climate in America, a lot of our other things in America. And we need to be aware of what these are. Reality must be interpreted through our language and cultural. Therefore, reality is socially constructed. It's kind of the society decides about reality. Human beings are nodes in a cultural reality. They are a product of their social setting. The ideal that people are autonomous and free is a myth. Truths are mental constructs meaningful to individuals with a particular cultural paradigm. They do not apply to other paradigms. Truth is relative to one's culture. In other words, it may be true for you, but it's not true for me. If that works for you, that's fine. If that's true for you, that's good, but that's not true for me. You know, try that with your banker. Go down to the bank and tell your banker, I would like to draw $100,000 out of my bank account. The banker says, okay. He looks in your bank account and he says, but you only have $50 in your bank account. And you say, well, that may be true for you, but that's not true for me. How many of you think you're going to get your $100,000? I mean, some of this stuff is just, it's just totally off the wall. So values fluctuate with cultures, but there are no absolute truths. There is not something that is written into the DNA and the code of man that God put there, that we were created in His likeness and His image, that there's nothing there that determines what's right and wrong. See, one of the things that we believe in Christianity is that basically we know by instinct what is good and what is bad. That's part of our makeup as beings that have been created in the image of God. And I realize that we're fallen beings and we may not live consistently with the way that we were made, but there's something on the inside of us that when we do something wrong, we know that that's wrong. And it affects us. It affects us. You know, how many of you know rape's not a good thing? Do y'all know that? Okay. Rape's wrong, isn't it? One of the ways that we know rape is wrong, you could think, well, rape's okay. But does it damage people? Does it hurt people? Does it mar them on the inside? See, sex is more than just a physical act. It's a mental, emotional, physical, spiritual act. And when someone is violated, it not only maybe damages them physically, but it damages them morally and emotionally. And that's part of our DNA as people created in the likeness and the image of God. So truth is not relative. There are absolute truths that we know basically what those are. So there's about five worldviews there, and you're going to run into this, and you'll hear this. And one of the things that I believe that we hear all the time is says, we should not judge. You hear that? We should not judge. You know, the Bible does not tell us not to judge. Wow, what about it says, thou shalt not judge? But there are other places that tells us how to judge. It's not just saying don't judge. We need to judge in the right way. We don't need to just condemn people. But at the same time, if you don't have judgments about things, I mean, if I'm going to go into business with someone, I'm going to make judgments about that person's character. Am I just going to just trust them with my money? Am I going to trust them with my partnership? Or do I have to make judgments about those things? Yes, we have to make judgments. We have to make judgments. Now, you can judge without hating. That's something that we need to understand. That you can believe that something is wrong without hating the person that's involved in that wrong. There are a lot of things that are wrong that people do. And God hates sin, but he loves people. And we should hate sin, but we should love people. Now, the Bible tells us that the way that we judge people is the way that God will judge us. And if I say, you know, Jim is just absolutely no good because he does this. I've judged him. I've made two judgments. He may do something that is wrong, but does that mean that he's absolutely worthless? And if God takes that mode of judgment and he turns it on me, do you think that he could find something in my life that he could say about me? He does this wrong, therefore he's absolutely worthless. You know, I could say, Jim does this wrong, but let me tell you, God loves him. And God has a redeeming work to do in his life. See, I may have made a judgment about something, but I have not condemned him in that judgment. And a lot of times we want to condemn the sin and we want to condemn the person at the same time, not knowing that God has a redeeming work to do in the life of that person. You know, one thing I know about you, let me tell you, secret's out. I know something about you. You're not perfect. You say, well, I am. Well, that's your sin. If you think you're perfect, then that's your problem. But all of us have issues in our life. And if God wanted to condemn us, he could do that. But listen, God did not want to do that, so he sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin, so not only he could forgive us of our sin, but he could do a redeeming, transforming work in our lives. So yes, you're supposed to judge. No, you're not supposed to condemn. The way that you judge others is the way that you will be judged. We need to make judgments, but we need to temper our judgments with grace. You know, I think about and I don't really want to name names. You've seen their signs, the church that follows around a lot of our soldiers that have been killed, and they protest and they hold up signs like, God hates fags. Well, you know, they've made two judgments. They've made two judgments. They have condemned a sin, but they've also condemned the person with it. Do you know what? I know that God is able to redeem someone from the sin of homosexuality, and he's able to transform them. But if we take the position that God hates those people and hates their sin and hates them too, then in our minds we have stopped any possibility of that person being redeemed. That is not a good judgment. Yes, we judge. Yes, we make decisions. You know, if you're going to, single people, if you're going to date somebody, you need to judge the person you're dating. If you're thinking about marrying somebody, you better make some judgments. If you're going into partnership, you better make some judgments. But you can judge without condemning. Does that make sense? This means yes, this means no, this means I don't have a clue what you're talking about. So the next time somebody says to you, don't judge me, it's wrong to judge, ask them the question, well, aren't you judging me for judging you? They're doing the very same thing that they accuse you of doing. See, it's ridiculous. We all make judgments. You cannot live a life without making judgments. Okay, next week we'll take it up again. Let's stand. I know this was a little bit different, but the question was asked, and I answered the question. And if you have further questions about different worldviews you want to ask, send me the questions. We'll try to cover it. And here's what we want to do. And this is one of the missions.